Let's start with a story about a patient I'll just call Marcus. And he had been to therapy with a really good therapist for about 4 years. And Marcus's issue was he had panic attacks, and he had insight into the panic, where it had begun, how it had been shaped, his early experience, which caused his nervous system to organize in the particular way that it did around particular threats. And he could trace it very precisely. One day he looked at me and said, "I understand all of this and know why it happens. So why is my body still allowing it to happen?" The question, why does my body still think it's happening, is what this episode is built around. Understanding changed the explanation, but it didn't change the panic. And his nervous system was still running the same threat model that it had always run. And this isn't because therapy failed. I want to be really clear about that. It's because therapy has worked on a level where insight operates, and the panic doesn't live at that level. It lives at a different level. This episode isn't an argument against therapy, any kind of therapy, by the way. Good therapy is one of the most valuable things a person can do. It creates the condition for everything else to be possible. And I've often found that when I've worked with patients who are in therapy, the work that I'm doing goes faster than if they weren't in therapy. And the opposite is true too. What I want to offer today is something more specific, which is a framework for understanding why even genuinely good work often reaches a ceiling and what that ceiling is telling you. Because understanding a pattern is one thing, and changing what the nervous system expects is another. So stay tuned. And welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, we're talking about levels of treatment and making sure that we're working in the right place. So here's the framework that I want to discuss. Every intervention works at a particular level, and every pattern lives at a particular level. Healing accelerates when those match. And it doesn't matter what the level is and what the treatment is. You need those two to be more congruent for things to work faster. And by the way, sometimes things are at multiple levels, right? And you need multiple things, like, you know, the Walsh protocol and psychotherapy to work on stuff that's, you know, like panic attacks or anxiety. It could be that it's at both levels and you need both for things to work. The issue is that when we focus only on, say, insight as the primary mechanism, where we have understanding, interpretation, making the unconscious conscious as the main tool, we run into issues if the problem is in a different place. And it's great that you have those insights. And sometimes those insights allow you to not react as much, right? Some of the therapeutic modalities work at multiple levels simultaneously. And this episode isn't a critique of any of them. It's more that I want to discuss the levels where the attention is and whether the current work is reaching it and how you know that. So the first level is physiologic. And I think that this is important to recognize. And by the way, this is where much of the advertisements that you receive if you watch TV are focused on. And I would argue that a lot of illness, including physical illness, is not originating at this level. I'm not just talking about other people's work. I'm also talking about what I do, because a lot of the things that we have in naturopathic medicine and in mainstream medicine do not touch the right level. So in terms of patterns living in the body, oftentimes, if we're looking at it from a psychological point of view, it's that the pattern actually is based in the body's predictive analysis of the world. Stress response can activate before someone is consciously aware that something is happening. In other words, there's a baseline physiologic arousal that runs, and it looks like a personality trait, but it's actually a nervous system state. This, you know, for example, there could be a sleep architecture that creates conditions where the body doesn't fully restore because the system is staying alert throughout the night. These patterns operate at a level that is not about conscious understanding. And this is where Marcus's panic was. He could trace it perfectly, but his body was still living in a threat state, because that hadn't been restored by changing his narrative. And oftentimes we store the narrative, the history, or even our ancestral history, in our nervous system pattern, in the autonomic nervous system. His model was built through repeated experience, and understanding changed the explanation, but it didn't change how his body was predicting the world. Insight often changes physiology indirectly, by the way. And for many people, that indirect change is sufficient. That understanding can allow the nervous system to reset. But some presentations require interventions that engage physiology more directly. And the signal is when the insight is complete and the pattern is still running at the body level, right? That's how you know there's more work to be done. This looks different depending on the presentation. Sometimes the somatic work that creates new physiologic experience rather than a new understanding of an old experience. The nervous system encounters something different and then it reorganizes around it, right? This is I've talked about this on other podcasts. This is the work of Peter Levine and others, where you can reorganize the body and it's almost like you shake it out of your system. Sometimes it's addressing the biochemical environment. And because the nervous system is operating in a depleted state, either there's a nutrient depletion or there's a chronic physiologic disruption altering one's capacity that has been supported, right? And sometimes its approach is to engage the nervous system's own regulatory capacity directly. Here's the main thing to recognize. The intervention has to occur where the pattern exists, not at the level where it can be discussed. And Marcus didn't need a better explanation. He needed to experience something that allowed his nervous system to reset. Understanding changed the story, but it didn't change the body's reaction. The second level is relational. Now, this is a ceiling that is definitely more subtle. And oftentimes, the therapy is actually working, but we don't see it right away because of the nature of the relationship. And I want to spend a little more time here because I think it's overlooked, I'll just say. Therapy was initially, the psychotherapy was initially called the talking cure. But maybe a better way of describing it is the listening cure, because it's the ability to engage with a person one-to-one that allows for healing. Now, sometimes that is not sufficient, by the way. Sometimes it needs either the romantic relationship or the parent-child relationship, whatever it is, to allow for the healing to occur. The reason is some wounds formed in relationship require a relationship to complete the healing. Now, this isn't a critique of therapy. Like I said, therapeutic relationship in a good situation is genuinely healing for a lot of people. The ceiling here is very specific, though. Attachment wounds that formed in the earliest relational environment left the nervous system with a working model of what relationship is, what to expect, what is safe to need, what is safe to ask for, what needs to remain hidden, what needs to remain managed. Understanding how that formed is valuable. But updating the model requires the understanding alone cannot provide. Repeated relational experience that contradicts the model's predictions. And this is where having a good, secure relationship allows for those systems to be updated. The nervous system learned what to expect from relationship through relationship, right? It then needs to update through a more healthy version of that relationship. The revision requires the same medium as the original learning. And the nervous system also encodes learning in context. Safely experienced in one relationship doesn't automatically generalize to another. It's actually an interesting thing that I'll just say here real quick. If you look online, there's some quizzes around attachment theory, what your attachment state is, you know, secure, avoidant, anxious. And oftentimes, what I've talked to clients about this, if they take that test thinking about a particular person, it changes their relationship attachment. So sometimes there is a context as well in terms of who you're in relationship with. And the important thing is this ceiling exists because of the context of your wounding and also who you are involved with. A good therapist understands this, and the understanding is very helpful, right? But here's the thing. The understanding might be in the room with the therapist or your friend or whoever. The pattern, though, exists with the partner. And for the pattern to update, the nervous system has to gather counter evidence where the pattern actually activates in real relationships, in real moments, under real conditions. Insight can help you do this. I do want to be clear about that. And a group container can provide this in ways that an individual relationship can't, because it creates an relational field, or really a multi-dimensional relationship field simultaneously. And repair can happen there as well, if it's safe. The question of the relational ceiling raises, is the relationship happening in the room, or is it primarily happening in your life? If the insight is accurate, but the pattern's still happening, that may require a level change. In other words, you're going to need to look at this in a different way for the system to update. Now, one thing I want to repeat that I said at the beginning, many patterns span multiple levels. The question isn't where they exist, because they almost always exist in multiple places. The question is which level is currently preventing further growth? That's the dominant one, maintaining where you're at. And as an example, if someone's sleep is severely dysregulated and they're carrying significant physiological load, relational work may not gain traction until the physiology is addressed. Not because the relational pattern doesn't matter, but because the physiological load is the dominant maintaining force right now. That's an example of where there's two levels and one modifier that's needed. I'm going to take a quick break, and on the other end of the show, I'm going to talk about the inherited modifier and also what you need to do to identify these things. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Gil Winkleman, your host, and this is Ask Dr. Gil. And I want to continue with patterns and recognizing the patterns that where things are happening. Now, the inherited question is worth naming. And before we go deeper, I want to talk about this because some people have physiological issues, some people have relational issues, but some of the patients that I've talked to have patterns that existed before, in a sense, before they were even born. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, the important point here is simply that some people arrive with patterns before their own conscious history begins. I covered the mechanisms in detail last week. There are three patterns, basically, that can move across generations. The nervous system can be conditioned by the relational environment during infancy, or there's epigenetic susceptibility that alters the terrain, or there's learned templates that might have been absorbed from watching the adults around you before you had language to understand what you were seeing. The inherited modifier doesn't add a third level necessarily, but it explains why some people arrive at the physiologic and relational levels with certain patterns already running. Patterns that predate their own conscious history. And this could have been another factor with Marcus, by the way. He could have been having panic attacks because someone in his lineage had panic attacks. And no amount of insight therapy would have figured that out, right? When the inherited dimension is present, the level matching question becomes, is the current work reaching the level where the inherited pattern is operated? An inherited epigenetic susceptibility that expresses physiologically requires physiologic intervention. And an inherited attachment template that operates relationally requires relational counter-experience. The inheritance modifies the level, but it doesn't necessarily create a separate one. But it can. So how to tell which level is yours? Well, the matching principle is only useful if you identify the level your pattern is operating at. So here are some questions to think about. In terms of physiology, does the pattern activate before you have awareness of it? Does it arrive in the body before the mind has registered a threat? Do you understand the patterns precisely and still notice the body doing the thing your mind already explained? If yes, the pattern likely is in the physiology. And understanding it is valuable, but not sufficient. A sign this may not be the primary level if the pattern only appears after prolonged rumination, if it builds through thought rather than arriving before thought, the physiology level may not be primary. I'll give you an example. I've worked with a lot of kids who have unexplained outbursts and rage. They don't know what's going on. It just happens. That's not necessarily a behavioral issue, although behavioral training can help. But often that's in the physiology. That could be a sign of pyral disorder. The relational question, does the pattern activate most strongly in specific relationships, particularly close ones? And I've talked about this earlier in the show, how if you take the attachment quiz, you know, what your attachment style is, there are certain relationships that activate you, and there's others that are less activating. And is the insight accurate and well-developed, but the pattern still runs in the kitchen or in the bedroom or in the relationship that matters most? Does the healing that happens in one context fail to transfer to the relationships where you actually see the pattern? If yes, the relational issue is probably the most direct, right? Not more understanding of your history, but actual relational experience that begins to reorganize the nervous system state. And a sign that this isn't the primary level is if the pattern shows up equally when you're alone or when you're with others. The relationship may not be the issue. The third question is about the inherited states. Does the pattern feel like it predates anything in your history? For example, fear response disproportionate to anything in your experience? Or do you recognizing running in previous generations? You know, do you, this is what they found with Holocaust survivors, that people had claustrophobia, for example, and this fear of confined spaces, even though they'd never been locked in a closet or anything like that. Well, their grandparents had been. And if yes, this may be where you need to work on the pattern. When people stop asking the question, why isn't this working? And ask, what level am I working at? This changes your relationship to the experience. Not because the previous work was wrong, but the question itself is more useful. And one other thing about the question, there's a category that doesn't reduce cleanly to any of the levels, which we discussed in, which has to do with things that happen through prayer or surrender or collective practice, because I've seen that too. And don't ask me to explain that. I mean, you can listen back to the podcast on spirituality, but there is something there that is beyond what science can explain. And some people experience change through these pathways that the physiologic and the relational frameworks don't account for. There's research to support this, by the way, but I think that there is a certain amount of awe and humility that I have regarding this, that I, in a way, I don't really want to understand it because it's so beautiful. And I just live in awe around it. So I want to close with asking you, where do you recognize the ceiling in your own work? The insight is genuine, or the relational work you're doing with your partner is genuine, but there's still something underneath it that you haven't reached. Which level does your pattern most likely live at? And what would become possible if the level of intervention finally matched the level of the pattern? Marcus's question wasn't why didn't therapy work? It was what level hadn't been reached yet? And that changed the outlook, because the ceiling isn't a failure, it's a map. It's telling you that the pattern has a location and the work that you're doing right now hasn't reached it. That's not a reason to stop the work. It's a reason to add the missing level and that piece. And I think it's important to understand that. So a couple of things. Once you understand the matching principle, the next question becomes obvious. What would it look like to bring all three levels into work at one time over enough time for the dominant maintaining level to shift? And Rewrite the Signal is the 12-week container built for that. I'll leave a link in the show notes. And I also want to just remind people about the quiz, which is also in the show notes. And if you like the podcast, please share that and put in a like. And also, you can find out more about episodes and what I'm doing on Instagram. There's a mailing list as well. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it, and I will see you next time.